a snow day, but if you can think way back to 2 weeks ago, Pastor Dwayne gave us a great message on how we're all looking for Jesus. Whether we know it or not, we're all looking for Christ. But the really good news, Dwayne said, is that even though we get exhausted sometimes of searching for hope and joy and love and meaning and peace and purpose in life, Jesus is on the move now. Jesus is looking for us. Ready or not, here he comes, anointed in power with the Holy Spirit and forever affirmed of his Father's love. And what's his mission? To cleanse and to heal, to save and to sanctify all of life. Even better than Grand Rapids, you see, Jesus knows the business of health. And he wants us to live wholer lives and healthier lives in every way possible in his power. In fact, that's what we'll look at here today as he begins his ministry in Mark 1. So I invite you to settle in and let the word hit you where it will here this morning, or I should say, let the word heal you where he will here today. Let's read a nice big chunk of Mark's gospel. And as we do, keep asking yourself, who is this Jesus who is looking for us? Who would you say that he is? That's probably the most important thing about us. So hear now the word of the Lord. Some readers who will help us to hear it.
They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee.
As soon as they left the synagogue, Jesus and his disciples went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on him. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was.
Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can pray there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons.
A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere.
A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat that the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven."
Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk?' But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rudy. Well, back in January of 2015, my back went out. Yes, my back went out. It was after playing hockey, but I blame slouching around over the holidays, not getting smashed into the boards. I had a herniated disc in my spine, the L4 disc, for those of you who've had lumbar problems or sciatica before. And sorry, because even by mentioning this, I've made those pews a lot less comfortable. But I was stiff as a board. My congregation could tell, so suddenly I had 100 health advisors all crowded around me. I got a great chiropractor, Pastor. My doctor gave me these pills. My physiotherapist showed me this exercise. So I figured, why not? I'll try anything. When you're up in Canada, none of it costs you a dime anyways. It's easier to tell you that try everything philosophy. I even got tips from a naturopath, though I stopped short of acupuncture. But here's the thing. Each of these specialists saw my back problem in a different light. And so each saw the solution in different ways as well. To the chiropractor, I was misaligned and needed adjustments. To the physiotherapist, I was weak in my core muscles and I needed more exercises. And to the doctor, I was in pain and I needed meds and rest, but my body healed itself. And all of them were right, after a fashion. One way or another, I did get better. But looking back, I think the best advice they gave me was just to listen to my wife. Because the first thing out of her mouth when it happened wasn't to blame my body, or to blame hockey, thank God, but no, to blame the way that I was holding myself. "You're sitting too much at work," she said, "and you do like to slouch." Yeah, ouch. Do we acknowledge our long-term problems or just our short-term ones? Do we admit our bad habits and lifestyles or just the occasional surface one? Do we confess to the little struggles each week, to our little struggles, but avoid facing our truly wicked kinds of problems? Do we come to church for minor adjustments or to break those habits that hold us hostage? Author Annie Dillard once wrote, "We should wear hard hats to worship. We should all wear hard hats to worship. Because here we encounter the Holy One, the living God. And he isn't interested in just giving us minor tweaks or pop psychology or self-help exercises to make us feel better. But he's interested in a full physical, a full spiritual tune-up." And that's who we meet in Mark's gospel here. Jesus doesn't stop with treating symptoms or with dressing down sinners, but he calls us to holier and to healthier lifestyles. Physical and spiritual, mental and emotional, relational and personal as well. Jesus here, you could say, is our amazing authority on holistic health. In fact, I know there are 5 sections in our Bibles, but I want to treat this text here in just three sections, a sort of triad of health. The first is on spiritual, the second on physical, and the third on holistic health. In episode one, Jesus drives out an unclean spirit. In episode two, he heals Peter's mother-in-law of her fever, a man of his leprosy, and many others as well. And then in episode three, he offers both to the paralytic, spiritual and physical health. And in all of it, he's teaching the kingdom of God is at hand. Come to me and come clean, he says. And the people are amazed. Who gave him such authority, such power? Because see, they can tell Jesus' teaching is not just inspirational, but inspired. It's not just informative, but transformative. It's not just relevant, but it's really applied. So episode one, spiritual health. I can't tell you how hard it was to be a first-time preacher, but I never faced what Jesus did here. Let's look at this first episode here of this heckler in the synagogue. Just when Jesus has got their attention, this man with an impure spirit bursts out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But imagine how the congregation there felt at that moment. Everyone knows this is a problem. You just can't tolerate that kind of an outburst in church. Someone's got to take charge. Someone's got to drag that man out of there. But no one dares to raise a finger here, of course. Because what if he's contagious and his demon infects you somehow? So Jesus takes charge. "Be quiet," he orders. And the Greek word he uses there isn't so polite. It means shut your trap or be muzzled like you'd muzzle a wild animal. "Get out of him," he orders, and the evil spirit thrashes around but has no choice. Jesus has claimed this man's turf, his life. What a great proof of his spiritual authority, his power. Reminds me of that scene in, yes, you guessed it, The Lord of the Rings, where the evil wizard Saruman has poisoned the mind of Theoden, the king of Rohan. Saruman has possessed him, turned him all sick and cynical through Wormtongue. So that even when Gandalf, the good wizard, shows up, Saruman resists him. "I know who you are, Gandalf the Grey," he spits out in anger. "But if I go, then Theoden dies." But Gandalf replies, "I will draw you out of him, Saruman, like poison from a wound." And then as a sign of his authority, throws off his cloak, revealing a white cloak inside. And with that sign of his divinely granted authority, Gandalf prevails. Theoden is freed and the devil is driven right out. "Destroy me and you'll destroy him," he claimed. But Gandalf proves that's a lie. And it seems to me that Tolkien took a page straight out of the Gospel of Mark there, because that's almost exactly what happened here in this synagogue. "Have you come to destroy us?" this demon here cried. But who is that us? Him and the other demons hidden away there in that church? Well, maybe. Or could it be him and his man, him and his sin-sick host? Either way, it's a threat to get Jesus to back off. "I know who you are," the demon shouts. "You are the Holy One of God." It's like he's trying to get the upper hand over Jesus there by revealing that knowledge, and he knows more about him than he wants to say. But here's what we have to see. If evil tries to possess us, Jesus won't settle for half measures or for half cures. He'll drive that poison right out. But not the person. Jesus comes to save. Do we believe that we can live without our evil entanglements? That we don't need our pride or anger, that porn addiction, or the other ways we might self-medicate? I wonder what would happen if we all would just cry out about the sinful habits and the hidden idols that hold us captive so often. We might look down on this man here, but he unleashed his poison and found the antidote in Jesus. strikes me we're quick to share our physical struggles because there's no shame in admitting those to one another. But what would happen if we shared our spiritual struggles? We confessed our sins to one another more often. Church should be a safe place to do that. And I'll tell you right now, I need Jesus to scour me of my pride, to cleanse me of my resentments, and to curb many of my selfish desires. It's too easy to think that we have a right to our wrongs because of the wrongs that we've suffered. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him, the people say. When's the last time that you were amazed at Jesus' authority over sin? The truth is, it kills us to share it, but what actually will kill us is if we don't let him treat it, if we don't share it and confess it with others. Because see, then it festers, and then we think that we need it. There's a verse that came to my mind here from the summers that I used to work as a counselor up at Camp Talter. You see, we used to write rap songs, rap music for the kids there to help them remember their memory verses. So you want to hear the only rap that I've ever written? No? Well, too bad. It's from James 5:16. If I recall, it went something like this. Confess your sins to one another. Pray to heal each other, for the prayers of the people have the power to change. Verse 5:16 in the book of James. Wow, 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 wow. Thank you, thank you. I won't do it again. But you see the point, and spiritual health is one of Jesus' main priorities as he jumps straight into ministry. Then episode 2, physical health. I'm only going to touch on this one quite briefly here because I want time to look at the last story, of course. But what we see in the middle of our reading here is the power of Jesus' touch. The fear of contagion is pretty real today, but it was even worse back then, you see. Every flu or fever could be lethal. So people cared for the sick, but they did not touch. People often interpreted physical ailments as specific judgments, though, rendered on sinners by God. Rabbi, which one sinned, this man or his parents, that he's leprous and that he must be shunned? But the beauty of Jesus' response is that when this leper asks him if he's willing, he's indignant, Mark says. Of course I'm willing. Be clean, he shouts. He touches this man to infect him with health. And then notice here too, both this man and Simon's mother-in-law are also given a path to further health. The fever left her and she began to wait on them, Mark says. And that introduces a huge theme in Mark. As Jesus has served us, we also must serve others. That's all part of our healing process. Physical healing is a great miracle, but so are servant hearts. Then episode 3, holistic health. Of all the short stories here, though, my guess is that this is the last one that we think, and we think that we know this one best. That's a good thing because it all comes together here really for Mark. Physical and spiritual, social and relational health, it's all in full view there in that crowded house as those friends cut through the roof and lower their paralyzed friend down. But now what's Jesus' priority when it comes to his health? Son, your sins are forgiven. That's not what they'd expected. No, I'm sure that everyone was startled. With all due respect, that's not what we came for, sir, the friends must have wanted to say. And who do you think you are, those Pharisees grumble in their hearts. Healing is one thing, but forgiveness? Well, that's only up to God. See, people want the healing, but not the healer. They want the cleansing, but not the cleanser. They want holistic health, but not the Holy One himself. And that may be our greatest problem. We look for quick fixes and partial remedies when only God can fully provide a restored relationship with him through his Son. Which is easier, Jesus asked, to heal this man spiritually and relationally and say, Son, your sins are forgiven, Or heal him physically and say, get up, take up your mat, and walk. And they'd say forgiveness, because there's no way to prove that, of course. But what would he say? Does he know what it will cost him yet to forgive this man's sins? His own health, his very death on the cross. Do you see it? Here is a man with a pro-life platform that everyone should get behind. This Holy One of God is in all ways for the sanctity of life, driving out demons, sickness, death. What other signs could you want? From womb to tomb, he loves and lives to save life. And that is why he can say with such authority here, be clean, be forgiven. And people know that they are. All he has to do is say it, and it is finished. It is done. His holiness is infectious. His health is contagious. His very presence is balm. Jesus is contagious. He's simply contagious with life. Reminds me of this picture I once shared with you from a friend who works for Doctors Without Borders. He posted this picture of the Rohingya crisis in Myanmar, which is still going on. You can see the pain and suffering there, yes, but look at the beauty. Look at the dignity. Look at the generations there, the life. Do you wonder why Jesus made it his first priority to care for our health? I'm still thinking about what Lerone Martin from Stanford University said in his January series talk last Monday about how we in this nation have shrunk from the full dream, the full legacy of Dr. King. The Reverend Dr. King didn't just dare to confront racism, but a whole trinity of evils, he said. The sin of poverty and the sin of violence are unavoidable too if we really want to heal racism. It leaves so many of God's beloved feeling unwanted and worthless. Dr. King called for holistic change. In fact, he said this. He said, of all forms of inequality, injustice in health is the most shocking, the most inhumane. We actually stated that in even stronger terms. He said inhuman, not just inhumane. And though many accused him of being a communist, Dr. King dared to call out another evil too, the horrific wealth gap between rich and poor. It's only gotten so much worse in our day, where the bottom 50% hold only 2% of the total wealth in this nation. We all know that health should not be tied to wealth, that care should not be conditional on class or color. When Holy God came to us in Jesus, it's the ones who didn't have a penny who he was quickest to heal. So friends, as a church with so much health and wealth in general, maybe there's something more that we can do. Something more to be contagious with Jesus' life and body and his spirit. How can we better practice this holistic kind of health? When we see someone hurting, are we willing to get close, even if that might burden us a bit? When we see someone kept out, would we dare to change the system, tear the roof off to help? When someone attacks us, do we respond to them in kind or with kindness? Or do we drive out hatred with love? Are we helping others seek physical but also spiritual health? If we serve in the healthcare system of King Jesus, you see, we must count the cost. Because we'll have to get up close and personal with the sick, and with the sin sick, and with all the suffering. But praise God, friends, the one who is in us is so much stronger than the one who is in this world. And he's got our backs. He'll bring us back to full health. Would you pray with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus, that you care about our health in every which way. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, relationally, in every other way that we could imagine. You hear the cries of the parts of us that we don't listen to. the wails of our innocence being trampled on by our sinful desires sometimes, the pains we won't acknowledge because we're too embarrassed or too ashamed. You hear us, Lord Jesus, and you are indignant at all the sin and sickness that causes us so much suffering. Help us not to buy the lie that we need them or that we're too far gone to save. Holy One of God, help us hear your words here over us too. Be quiet, be clean, be forgiven. And then help us to go, to share your healing with others, that there is life in your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and for his kingdom's sake and God's people say together, well, our Bibles, they do say that word indignant, and it can be a little bit shocking to read it. Some ancient manuscripts say Jesus is indignant over all that sickness and over the man's question about that. But many other ancient manuscripts say that Jesus was filled with compassion as well. So let's sing about that now, and let's consider our response, our calling this morning.